This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
my own pride. Everything I meant to say, never saw the break of daylight. Wrong or in between, you will always be the one, love. I close my eyes and see, I wake up and scream the name of. If you go away, hey, I'll live another day. But I can promise you I'll never be the same without you. If you go away, I'll never be alone. I'll just sit at home with all the things I'm meant to say. If I could once believe you really were the one to suffer. Every time you looked my way and saw the face of every other. If I could understand, somehow you are really dying. Knowing in my eyes with every kiss that I've been lying. If you go away, hey, I'll live another day. And I can promise you I'll never be the same without you. If you go away, never be alone. Just sit at home with all the things I'm meant to say. Now we'll become the one who never really happened at all. Now we'll move on, but I will be a pain in every fall. Now you're standing at my door, and I cannot believe you're leaving. Throw our love away, packed your heart and left me bleeding. To watch you act this way is something I don't want to go through. Cause there will come a day when I will wish I'd really loved you. If you go away, hey, I'll live another day. But I can promise you I'll never be the same without you. If you go away, never be alone. But I will sit at home with all the things I'm meant to say. If you go away, if you go away, if you go away.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Yeah.
It's 2 o'clock on the East Coast, 11 p.m. on the West Coast, and somewhere hovering around Jamaica, there's a bastard named Ernesto that's been scaring the hell out of me for a day. It's 1 o'clock here in the throbbing heart of the Montrose, so it's time for After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Chris Harris, and I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper, I'm the other one.
Oh, God, this thing, Ernesto, it made for a sleepless night. Knocked me off my damn diet for a day.
Yes, Ernesto's given me some sleepless nights, too.
We ain't talking about the program director.
Oh, wow, what are we talking about?
Tropical storm. You know, when you're hosting an event to bring a bunch of people to town that was killed last year by Katrina.
Oh, yeah, and now you've got this one coming. Cute.
Yep. But fortunately, it looks like it's going to bitch slap New Orleans again.
Oh, great, just what they need.
Yeah. Like I said, we're just hoping that Ernesto has an old map, so you know he doesn't realize that Burris and New Orleans is no longer on, and just heads for that direction.
There you go.
This is a lot happier picture now.
Yeah.
We're not even in the cone of uncertainty.
Good, 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 good. We don't need that, especially with Convergence coming up, and that's next weekend, isn't it?
Yes, and we got everything cleared on that, so We are going to be coming live from it next week.
I'm sure you'll tell me how that's going to work.
Yeah, I'm hoping to find out. it ain't like how we did ECC, I can tell you that much.
I hope it's not where you have to run a cord from the studio to the hotel.
That would be easier. I'm playing producer and host at the hotel next
week. Gotcha.
So I got to figure out how to run a board and run a group. But we'll be coming to you live next week with I guess you can call it the third installment in our story of issues of size in the GLBT community.
Yes.
And we're expecting a pretty good crowd and very nice settings where we're going to be having the event, where we're going to be coming to you from.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds highfalutin for KPFT, but we're going to be hopefully sitting in the concierge lounge.
Oh, touch you.
Well, it's a nice little living room kind of setting.
Mm.
So it'll be, have a group of people telling you what it's like, coming from around the country, and some people may even drag in from the international group that's coming in.
Oh.
Yeah, we've got people coming in from as far away as Denmark.
That's great.
So.
That's great to see, to see what it's like, how different cultures, how different people react to large men.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be an interesting topic. We're going to try and go as many different ways and talk about all the different aspects that we can with it. And we had a lot of interest when we did it 2 years ago from the guys. And one of the things they supposedly kept asking our president of the club was, are you guys doing it again? So it's like, okay,
here we go. I know you've been working on this now for a good two years.
Yeah, 2 years, and it's coming down to the end. Like, we can't wait to get there, but it's like we keep thinking of new things we need to put into it, and it's like,
not at this point. Go with what you got, honey.
It suddenly hit us when we handed over the check for the hotel going, we're 10 days away.
Yes.
And then, especially when you write a check of that size, I'm not used to seeing checks with a comma in it alone, but, there was two digits before the comma got to there.
I see.
Our treasurer cried a little bit.
I'll bet. But it's nice you could write that check.
Yeah. Had a lot of people who came in and who were coming in there. We were expecting a lot more, but we'll do with what we got.
Well, why don't you tell us about the music that you played first?
I don't know.
We kind of forget that.
Sometimes we do, yeah. I went with a little, jazzy bluesy in that. Started off with Bill Budd, And So Here, and followed up with Carrie Land, If You Go Away. I got to contact him again and see if he's coming to Houston. He said he used to come here occasionally.
Oh.
And meet him. But Carrie Land is one you're pretty sure you're only going to be hearing here on After Hours.
Oh, that's, yeah. Yeah. And let's see. Events going on in the community. This weekend has been packed. Last night was the Bare Bones show over at the BRB. That's third annual, done by the Colt 45s, headed up by Rose Smith, and it was a tremendous success in on many different levels. They had some auction items, and then they did a live auction, and they had two boxes.
Mm-hmm.
One was someone from the Colts went around to different bartenders and asked for a memento.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's T-shirts signed, shirts, hat, bar accessories, a couple of T-shirts from bars no longer in business.
Hmm.
And that got auctioned off. And then there was the second box in which the same guy went around and asked for things from drag performers. So there were several gowns and accessories and shoes. And
I can see the winner of doing that kind of doing a Franken drag.
Well, actually, and the last piece to go in it was a dress owned and worn by Lady Victoria Lust.
Mm.
So here I am with GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum for GLBT History, and I'm thinking, I can't afford either one in an open auction. Which one do I want to try to focus on? And so I focused on the second one and won the bid.
Ah.
Actually. During the bid, someone behind me whispered in my ear, I want to contribute to that. And after it was over, Sir Corwin handed me a couple of bills that I put in my pocket. And when I got home, I realized that he had paid for nearly half the winning bid.
Nice.
Then the guy who won the was the winning bid for the bar box,
mm-hmm.
except for one item, donated everything to GCAM.
Very nice.
So GCAM came out the winner. Actually, the community came out the winner, because now all of those items will be available and held in perpetuity as relics of our community. Well, they will be soon, if not already.
Well, yeah, there are some aspects of our community that are kind of relic.
Mm-hmm. And tonight, I had to pick up Stanley, so I had to miss the first part of a wonderful fundraiser done by Regina Dane over at 1415 California. And it was celebrating her 16 years of raising money for the community as a drag performer.
Mm.
16 years. Can you imagine the hundreds of thousands of dollars that, I mean, she has either shows she's either put on or been in.
Yeah.
That raised that much money. I mean,
that much time in high heels.
I know. Oh, tell me. Anyway, it was a tremendous, tremendous. Everybody. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. I mean, it's just. You know, it was just one of those good-feeling type of fundraisers that raised well over $400. And not everybody got a chance to talk about their experiences with Regina, but I recall one vividly when she was Empress Nine of, at that time, the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star. And I was a member of the Switch Game Lesbian Switchboard when we were on our own entity. And as always, the Switchboard was in need of funds.
Yeah.
The Switchboard was composed of people who were interested in talking on the phones to people who had problems, not people who were anxious to raise funds. So we always had a funding problem, and right at our lowest point, when we were just about ready to pass the hat among all of the volunteers in order to pay the rent and the phone bill, Regina Dane did a fundraiser for the Switchboard. And it was one of their big events, like her stepping down.
Oh, one of the big
the big ones, yeah. So a couple of thousand dollars
was raised, and that kept us going for quite a while.
Yeah, because
and it was solely it came out of the blue. It was manna from heaven.
That's one of the things about our community.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't, you know, it's like, you know, one part of the gator goes, someone out there needs help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like those gold coins in the Salvation Army boxes at Christmas. It just, somewhere out of somewhere, somebody.
Just amazing, isn't it?
Thinks about it, so, yeah.
Yeah. And next, let's see, tomorrow or today, later today, because it's Sunday, you have the opportunity of having breakfast at Mary's, naturally. Ooh, from 10 a.m. until noon. And the menu tomorrow, or later on today, is biscuits and sausage. With biscuits and sausage gravy, scrambled eggs, bacon, and a fruit medley. It's a donation of $3 per plate or $5 all you can eat.
Yeah, I like I said, I keep warning you. I haven't passed that along to my group yet.
To your group. And this the proceeds are benefiting Lazarus House and the Lexi Bowen Community Fund. And then later on, at 5 o'clock... is the Prince and Princess Ball for Lacajo Fools. This is honoring Crown Prince Royale Jeff Wallace and Crown Princess Royale Rose Smith of ICO, the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire. That's Sunday, August the 27th at 1415 Bar and Grill, located at 1415 California. Doors open at 5 p.m. That's going to be a nice affair. Lots of glittery stuff. Yeah, all the big jewels come out for this one. And of course, every Wednesday, ICOH hosts the Jukebox Show at Mary's at anywhere between 8:30 and 9:30. So stop by there for libations and fun. And I see. Ooh, Brian Kiefer has a birthday next Friday. What do you know? No, Friday after next. No, next Friday. I was right. September the 1st. Brian Kiefer. Well. And on the 3rd is Chris Bodier's birthday. Happy birthday to both of you guys. And let's see. Something else. I mean, we talked about this last week, the HIV Gay Men Social. Wow.
At the In-N-Out? Will
yes.
be next month.
Yes. Yes. The second Thursday of the month.
That's all I remember was this part.
Okay. Second Thursday of the month at In-N-Out.
Well, here, this ought to go with you. That needs to go with that.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, it sure does.
Same author, similar topic.
Gotcha. So,
and you put it in my hand to read.
Silly me.
We'll talk about me. We'll talk about that later.
Yes, we certainly will. It's been talked about enough. And Coffee Camp is for folks that are available to... Coffee Camp is for folks that are available to show on Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4. Well, what are they showing?
Their disabilities.
Ooh.
I read it later on there.
If you're HIV positive or have some other debilitating condition, you are welcome. Next.
I'm so evil.
God, next week is the last week of August and the last time we will meet at the Daily Grind.
Which is up on Washington.
In September, we will meet at Brazil, the southeast corner of Dunleavy and Westheimer.
Darn, I thought he was going to the country.
No.
I think I'm getting in a better mood than I was earlier.
I certainly hope so. The purpose is to be social with other like-minded folks. Think of it like meeting a regular group of friends at various coffee houses and just enjoying the company. So encourage your friends to come join us yourself. Look for the group of guys with several tables pulled together. Okay.
Too bad I left my 10-foot pole at home.
Yes.
Can't touch that.
It's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay. Let's go with the big stack with the big print.
Yeah.
Friday, September 1st, 2006. Peasants and monarchs, we all are one.
This is it's a couple of things going on with Eresus, the empire of the royal sovereign and imperial court of the single star.
I remember when you used to just throw it to me, say Eresus, and you know, where it's spelled, it was just printed out the initials, and you were like, well, what does it mean? Back before they added the E.
Yes.
Peasant Royale and Imperial Prince 22, Christopher Sparkle's Boy Prado, mm-hmm. presents Peasants and Monarchs, We Are All One, September 1st. Keys West, 817 West Dallas. Showtime is 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
When is this?
On September 1st.
It's
Friday.
Next Friday. On Brian Keever's birthday.
On that. Proceeds go to... I'll just say the proceeds at the end because it all goes to the same place, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then on Saturday, September 2nd, is the Festival of Fools.
Well.
Where we peasants challenge the monarchs to see which side can raise the most money in one night. Each of the peasants will have their cake. That will be at EJ's, 2517 Ralph Street. Showtime is from 8 to 11. It is open for all to perform. There's also going to be a 50-50 raffle and silent auction with delightful snacks.
Ooh. Well, I've seen quite a few things over at EJ's that look quite snackish.
Yeah, but they're expensive and straight.
Oh.
All of this is for the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Mm-hmm.
All monies pitched into this will go to Legacy Community Health Services, Body Positive AIDS Foundation Houston, and Camp Hope. Wait. Legacy Community Health Services, mm-hmm. Body Positive,
yes.
and AIDS Foundation Houston, Camp Hope. Mm-hmm. All this is through Coronation 23 of the Empire Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Yep.
For more information, contact Christopher Prado at Mr. Gay Pride HOU 2005 at sbcglobal.net. And that whole stack of paper killed a tree.
Yes.
Act Out. For some reason, Alley Theater thinks gay people would be interested in theater.
Imagine that.
Much Ado About Nothing is coming in October. That's the only event that's coming in this year.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Alley Theater with the... It's alleytheater.org. Remember, put your nose in the air as you spell it, because it's theatra with the R-E.
Gotcha.
Bayou City Performing Arts announces open rehearsals for the second season of the Bayou City Women's Chorus at Covenant Church at 4949 Caroline, September 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. Those are Tuesday nights from 7 to 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss this opportunity to sing great music with great women.
Speaking of, go ahead.
Well, for contact information, call 713-521-SING.
You were talking about Act Out.
Uh-huh.
And that reminded me that Theater Suburbia is having their summer melodrama right now till the end of the month, I believe it is. And that's always Friday and Saturday nights at 8:30 at Theater Suburbia, 1430 West 43rd at Ella is the address.
Judy hasn't called in yet, so...
No.
He's getting it wrong!
No, it's there. And if you call in with reservations and say you heard it on After Hours, you can get two tickets for the price of one.
They heard the performance on the air. They should have reservations.
Hey.
Thank you. Ooh. I'm here all week. Actually, no, I won't be.
No, actually, you won't.
The Houston Area Bears logo contest is open to the public.
It certainly is.
Houston Area Bears is looking for a new logo. Artwork must be submitted on or before September 10th, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Logo design requirements must include or incorporate a bear motif. Must state Houston Area Bears in the design. No more than four colors. Submit in a JPEG or a TIFF. For more information, go to HoustonAreaBears.com or you can contact TRIAD2 at HoustonAreaBears.com. It's tortilla heave time! You'd think you'd reprint it after all the times I made fun of it.
I know.
Mid-September through mid-October is Hispanic Heritage Month, and we're going to celebrate with the community by bringing Jade Esteban Estrada to perform the Houston premiere of his one-man show, Tortilla Heaven. GCAM, which preserves the history of our diverse community through collecting, archiving, and displaying memorabilia, I guess, of the GLBT world, is the beneficiary of this incredible show. It's on Tuesday, October 3rd, 2006. A build-your-own fajita dinner starts at 7:30 with pre-show entertainment. Jade Esteban Estrada takes the stage with Tortilla Heaven at 8:45. This will be at 1415 California Street, the upstairs stage and bar. There'll be a raffle and silent auction. You can also be a beneficiary by purchasing tables or just giving a check to the GCAM. For more information, go to gcam.org on the net. Which one? Can I play the one? Can I?
What, Filthy Gorgeous?
No, I was going to play just on the radio.
Well, since we have Max coming up.
Yes, and with a interesting show that we're going to be doing here with Max. She's calling from Baltimore, and I don't know where the event is. I think it's Philadelphia.
Yes.
The National Leather... Some sort of leather order. I know she's having some people who won, some past people. She is really excited about doing coming to us live from the East Coast.
Yes.
Comfortably numb. No, Filthy Gorgeous. I'm sorry.
Tits on the
one,
radio.
Two, three, four, five. No, I'll do. Oh, I love that. I love this. You know, you got a little mark here about a certain word in the song you want me to play, but you won't play tits on the radio because it says tits. But you will play the song that says the S word.
Play tits on the radio.
I don't
want to
play tits on the radio. I just want to say it on the air a couple times.
Aye, aye, aye.
I don't know what I'm doing. One, two, three, four, five. One,
well,
two.
You need, you know, we have to play some music while you're calling.
Six, seven, I guess it's eight. I can't tell.
I hope.
It's got that one little area in there. It's got a line in the middle. We'll find out soon enough.
Okay.
It's either that or it's music is the victim. I don't know. Hey, this is After Hours.
Yes, it is.
Amateur radio.
And I know Mistress Max is in Baltimore waiting.
Not yet. I told her.
Phone.
35.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, that's why I went into the other room, because she called.
Oh.
So, yeah, once we play the song, we'll be getting ready for her. So, Scissor Sisters, music break. We'll be right back.
I left my heart in San Francisco. Got just a motherfucking disco. The people there were dancing on it. They listened to the Mimatronic. Yeah, the music is a victim to am I loving and a cheese in the streets going by. I'll beg and scream and I cuss and I cry. Music is a victim to am I. Best fun, but it's all gone. Need some love, it's on the phone, but they got none. Daddy ain't home from the dog run, and you're riding through the city with a shotgun. I left my bag in Pasadena, where all them girls are doing Tina. The bitches show was going to want it. I said I'd rather smoke some chronic. Yeah, the music and the victim, so am I. Victim, so am I. The best fun, but it's all gone. But you need some love, it's on the phone.
left my man in Houston, Texas, just for Bowie finished breakfast. He said, oh baby, buy some more eggs. But I was running on my own two legs. Yeah, the Jesus had the power to substitute. I did a rise from the dead and take up to the sky. I'm fighting for the money that I can get by. And if music is a victim, then so am I. No mess, but money's all gone, but you need some. Love is on the phone, but they got none. Daddy ain't home from the dog run. And you're riding through the city with a shotgun.
Okay, we are experiencing technical difficulties right now, so we're trying to figure out what's going to be going on here. That was a double shot of the Scissor Sisters because through having technical difficulties, and all I could do was spin it back. Wanted to play actually the song Jimmy wanted to play, which was Filthy Gorgeous. Before that, the wrong song that we played was Music is the Victim. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. We're waiting right now to find out what we're going to be doing with Mistress Max. Unfortunately, the system we were going to be using to do a teleconference is down, and surprisingly at 1:40 in the morning, or actually 2:40 in the morning where she's at, no one's there to fix the problem. So, we're going to be reading that to you in a moment. Let me, let's just go back here. And I'll throw something else on while we figure out what all we're going to be doing. But Mr. Max will be joining us in just a moment. We'll play this. Oh, here.
Oh, here it is.
Here we go. What? Oh, that? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy George.
He did
boy
look
George.
So good in that, that orange vest. And
careful. Careful.
Hey, you know, he's the one who got there. Oh, that would be perfect. Cheapness and Beauty.
Yes.
With a title track for our favorite trash picker-upper of New York.
Ah.
Well, that's why I was making the joke about the orange vest.
Gotcha.
So they had to move him behind a fenced-in area so the reporters would leave him alone, because all we're sitting there going...
Yeah, I can imagine.
All right, so let's go to a little boy George, and we'll find out what's going on with the system. We'll be right back.
Lonely.
Cheapness and Beauty.
Yes, from his CD of the same name. And a very, very underrated CD. It's got a lot of good music on it.
So, we're going to try now to get a hold of Mistress Max.
Okay.
See if we can get this to work. Max, are you there?
I am right here.
Good.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Mistress.
Hi, Max.
How much hotness am I missing there? It is so nice and cool here this evening. There's a little rain falling. And the doggy and I are just sitting here on the porch. It's a lovely thing. Are y'all, like, jealous or what?
No.
Is it hot there?
Yes.
Yes, but we have air conditioning. And you just wait until come December when you're ass deep in snow and we're sitting here in shorts. And we'll see how you're feeling then.
Well, you know what? I can put on enough clothes to get warm, but I cannot take off enough to get cool.
True.
But anyway, I am loving it here.
Good.
And we're going to try to do lots of pretty cool things since I'm going to be doing the shows remotely.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be able to invite people to come and contact me online and maybe ask some questions and get lots of things going and get different people together in different places, which is what we're kind of doing today.
Yes.
So I have two guests. One of them is Lisa, who has been very, very warm and welcoming to me to this area. Lisa, are you there?
Hold on. This is where it's time we need to cross our fingers.
Okay.
I hope I got everything right here.
Okay. We're crossing fingers.
Lisa, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Max, Max, you still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, the only thing we don't have is Paula because I can't seem to get two extensions to work in my house.
Okay. Well,
it's not the first time we've had a three-way crash on our show.
Anyway, I was just saying what a wonderful welcome that you gave me when I first came here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So, what are we going to talk about this evening? First of all, why don't you tell the people a little bit about you, how you got into this kinky thing that we do, and how long?
Okay. Well, actually, as I told you, I was going over this. My best friend is here, and she's been questioning me thoroughly this weekend because she's interviewing me for a class of hers.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been going over this and talking about it, and when I was in college, I met a man at that time. I wasn't out as a lesbian, and I am a lesbian now. And that was not a great relationship, but he introduced me to kinky things, and I stayed out for a little while because I wasn't sure what I wanted. And after I graduated from college, I started to pursue things a little bit. And actually here in Washington, D.C., we have Black Rose, which was one of my first introductions and probably a lot of people's first introduction. I also engage with the lesbian community here and around the country, and I don't know, Max, how much you talk about that kind of stuff and how
we talk about all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So come on with it.
So we're nationwide, and there's not so many of us, so that we do engage with people across the country and other places and create relationships that are long distance and things that come together. And I met a lot of people. I ended up with a daddy who lives in New York, who still lives in New York now, although she's moved around, and she taught me a lot of what I know right now. And I have been doing this since probably, if you count my not-so-great introduction, since 1982, 83.
Then you've seen a lot of changes over the years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very big changes.
Okay. What are some of those changes that you've seen from when you started? I've had other guests on the show, and they've talked about how it was much more underground.
Absolutely.
And they found that it was actually better then.
Well, you know, I think people make that distinction, and I'm not sure. I think a lot of times for myself, some of the thing about being kinky is it's not so mainstream. It's a little different. Being different is sometimes a good thing. I don't know that I think better. Definitely different. And I think nobody could argue with the fact that the internet's made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So that people could connect, people could get people in places not like Washington, D.C. or New York or Houston could connect and with other people like ourselves. And especially if you're in a small town and you're the only person that's kinky. I think that's made a huge difference.
Where, did you start out, were you in a small town when you got introduced
to... No, I was always here, but I was also... At first, I had to come out as a lesbian, which was a closeting and sort of new experience for me. I came out late in my life. I was very closeted until my father died in 1991, and that's when I really came out as a lesbian and all my kink. I came out at the same time for all those things in terms of being out, really out. And so that really, that for me was pivotal because I didn't think I could, I felt that life was too short and I couldn't hide anymore. So,
yeah, that's a big step for a lot of people.
I think so. And I think people particularly believe that what they feel is wrong and it takes a lot of time and a lot, and other people an understanding that it's not.
Okay. How did your friends take your coming out of the closet?
Well, I would say most of the people that I grew up with, the few that I keep in touch with, don't know too much about my kinky life.
Okay.
Some of my college friends do, and they're sort of, I don't think anybody's particularly shocked by it.
Uh-huh.
Most people are okay. Knowing is one thing, seeing is another thing. I don't think
right.
most people have seen me in full leather life, so to speak.
Uh-huh. Do you think it's more difficult for people to accept the kinky aspect of a person these days than it is, say, whether or not someone comes out and decides that they are gay or homosexual or whatever the buzzword of the week is?
Oh, I think so. I definitely think so. I think it's very... and I don't know how much of the lesbian community exposure you've had, but of course, you know, we were always ostracized. That was violence against women. And people really don't, women particularly have trouble with that sometimes, particularly in the vanilla, the non-kinky leather community, especially the women's community.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing that a lot. But I think nowadays, gosh, and maybe I'm living in a place that's just too open, but I feel very comfortable and I don't worry when I say I'm a leather dyke. I'm very clear with people, especially, I don't know, probably 10, 12 years ago when I was dating again and not in a relationship. I stopped dating vanilla women. It just was never going to work for me, and so I stopped that. Actually, that was more than 12 years ago now.
So, I'm really sorry you can't get the extension to work because I was really wanting to ask Paula. And well, have you lived other places other than D.C.? Let me ask you that.
Actually, no, because you know I was born and raised overseas, and I came to college here, and I've only lived here. I know that she and I met probably about 1995 or 96. And she was in the South at that time, I could tell you that much. And I know that she had a lot of trouble with community, and I finally said to her, you got to go to a men's patch club, a gay men's club. That was, you know, what I advised her to do. And she did that. And that was where she started, and that was pivotal in her life, to find the men's patch clubs and down there in the South, in the Carolinas. And those are the people that brought her out into leather beyond me. And... it really, for a long time, actually, people would criticize her. Why don't you hang out with women? Well, there weren't a lot of women in
exactly
groups down
I think,
there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that this kind of started coming out, and this is where a lot of people learned from the gay men's groups.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
I mean, and I belong, and I mentioned a patch club. There's not a lot of women's patch clubs out there. I belong to one of the few.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, patch club has been traditionally a male kind of thing. Well, leather patch club coming out of that sort of motorcycle tradition.
Right, right, exactly. What do you think about the mainstream take on what it is we do? How do you feel, having been involved so long, seeing it in television shows, CSI, and seeing, you know, big budget films supposedly addressing what it is that we do. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think I'm a big CSI fan, so I've never missed an episode that had anything relating to leather. And I think that Paula's agreeing. She's laughing over here with me. And I think CSI, for one, is one place where they handle it very well.
Yeah.
Without judgment and in a way that's really good and makes it seem a lot more less scary, I think, is what I'm thinking. Some of the other things, I don't know that I've seen too many other things that portray us. And I think that, I still think we get portrayed as freaks sometimes, particularly when you get sort of these real-life characters who, you know, the media labels whatever happened as SM, especially when they break the law, and it's really not SM because, you know, you talk about those words consent and things like that, and things that don't involve consent, as far as I'm concerned, aren't SM. They're violence.
Right, absolutely. I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
You hanging in there with me, Jimmy? Is Jimmy there, Chris?
Yeah. Whoops. Yeah. We are. We were. I was.
Okay. Anyway, Lisa and I talked earlier about what would be an interesting vein to approach on the show, and we talked about Polly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be a great thing to talk about and not something that we've really hit on much on the show. But it is very common for more than one partner to be involved.
Oh, yes.
In a BDSM relationship.
Yes.
I mean, I do it and I went, oh, this is great. Jimmy understands this, so this would be a pretty good topic. So, Lisa, how are you feeling about Polly these days?
this is my line. I struggle daily with two Polly relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I love both relationships. I adore the people in them. They both give me different things. They bring different things to my life. And I don't know when I realized that one person was never going to bring everything to my life. You grow up at some point and you realize, you get that experience and you realize that. This is the first time in my life I've been in this much a situation with so many people involved. And when you're involved with one person who's involved with another, you're involved with that person too in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And it moves out exponentially from there. And the reason I said that to you, this is something I struggle with, and I think in many cases, we don't do very well. It's not the norm for people. It's not what people grow up believing they're going to do.
Right,
and
right.
There's not a lot of models out there that are very good, to be honest with you. And I have a lot of friends in those situations, and it's tough. I mean, I would not trade it right now in my life. I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a partnership for 6 years with a partner. And we had people in and out, but it never worked very well. I consider myself in many ways single, but I have two very solid commitments to people. In other words, if I'm going to play with somebody else, if I'm negotiating another relationship, I let those people know. And I am sort of in the very early stages of negotiating with someone else right now. Both of the people in my life know that, and I keep them up to date about what's going on. And while neither of those people has a right to say, you can't do that, they have the right to give me their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that right in their lives as well. I'm sure that if one of them had objections to somebody, I would listen and we would talk about it. And I don't know where I'd go from there. It hasn't happened yet.
Well, where do you think the difficulty comes from? As you said, we are raised with this monogamous thing in mind. Anything else is, oh my God, it's a sin.
Oh, it's not a real relationship.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't call your banker to come fix your plumbing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't have your car mechanic come and clean your house. So why other than the normal, or do you think that's it? Why this is so difficult, and why is it so difficult for us to move past it when statistic and everything shows this whole monogamous thing really doesn't work? Even if people do decide to stay together forever, it's usually effed up, dysfunctional, unhealthy, unrealistic, and then we end up raising another generation of people with the same
Because people aren't getting all that they need out of the relationship.
So and why they is it don't... so hard for us to deal with other people?
I think in many cases that old nemesis jealousy raises its head. My take on jealousy is that it rears its head because you're not secure in your relationship. If you're secure enough in your relationship with one or two different people or how many, then it's not an issue. You're not afraid that somebody's going to leave you. You're not afraid that somebody else is getting some affection that you think you should have. I mean, you give more of your heart once you get rid of jealousy. Because you're when you've got jealousy in your life, it's all about your ego.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. What do you think, Lisa?
I think that's absolutely true. The only thing that I would add to that is that's great. I think that jealousy is still... And being secure in your relationship is absolutely the first place to start. And I don't think that you can do any kind of poly situation if you're not secure in your relationship, if that relationship is not solid to begin with.
That's right. You're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, and I think... But I think on jealousy, I think that this is one thing that we acknowledge a lot in one of my relationships. We're human. Emotions are very normal. And jealousy happens. It's bringing it up, getting it out in the open, admitting it, and discussing it. I get jealous. There's no doubt about it. For me, it's generally not about the emotions. It's about the time.
Yeah.
It's, hey, I want that time, or I want to do that, or I want to spend more time with whoever it is. For me, the jealousy is something I can usually let go of pretty easily, but you're absolutely right. You have to be secure in all relationships, and one of those things that I try to do, and one of the things when I entered into these relationships was, it's my job to make both of those people feel special in my life. And if I, in turn, feel special in their lives for whatever reason, I usually don't get too jealous. In fact, I had a situation where one of the people that I'm involved with is away this weekend, and I said before she left, I just need to be reminded of how important I am in your life. And that will take care of me for a long time. You know, that'll keep me going.
I need to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours.
All right.
Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and 89.5 down on Galveston. And you can always find us on the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, I was having this conversation with someone else the other day. And maybe one of the ways to avoid the jealousy, I think it's really kind of a learned thing. I really don't think it's something that just happens. Is I think we confuse how we love. In other words, people have a tendency to love a person with their idea of what love is. As opposed to what the other person's idea of what love is. It's as you said, Lisa, you need to be reminded and told you are special. So in that way, the other person or persons need to give you that which you need in order to feel,
that's
you know, like a part of this relationship.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what relationships are all about, getting what you need. And particularly when you enter into poly relationships, you have potential to get everything that you need.
I think that's pretty exclusive to this thing that we do, don't
you think?
I think
so, too. I've always felt, that's why I always say I would never be anything but a leather dyke, because everything is so negotiated and so hopefully open, and you communicate so much, you have the potential to get everything you need if you want
it. Right. Okay. Any comments on that, Jimmy?
No, I think you're absolutely correct.
Okay. So how
you say that like it's exclusive to a BDSM relationship, but it isn't.
But I think we do it more than vanilla people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, I learned about negotiating what I needed from having a leather segment.
Yeah. Yeah,
because before that, I didn't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I learned that too as well.
So how are you dealing with that situation? You know, do you have some kind of rule set up that you're trying to do? Is there some particular process that you use? Because there are a lot of people who are involved in these type of relationships, and I'm sure they're having issues as well. You can't help but have issues with it, because not only are you turning your life around from vanilla to this interesting thing, but then you're even bringing more people into it. It has to be a stretching experience, so to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the reasons I've gotten so interested in discussing this, because I don't think we do it right, is in these two relationships, it was the first time that I entered two situations where there were existing people in those people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent so much time trying to make sure this was okay. And in both situations, I didn't negotiate with the other person. I allowed the people that I was with to tell me what those relationships were, what they meant, and that it was okay, because I can't negotiate with 30 different people in order to have a couple of relationships. Mm-hmm. I had to rely on what those people said, and I think that in both cases, in all cases, I think you can be honest and you can be open, but you have to know yourself. And really, you know, I've heard a lot of people in poly relationships or when these things start, the other partner says, oh, it's fine with me, it's okay, dear, I want you to get your needs met. But then the reality of that situation is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And unfortunately, with most things, you don't know how it's going to end up until after it is.
Well, and then you mentioned rules. I think you can set them up, you can talk about them, you can negotiate them up front, and I did that in one situation. And then everything changed, because the emotions change, everything changes. It always does.
Yeah.
And in
one
of those situations, I think we started out thinking one thing, and it changed an awful lot along the way. And it changed quickly, and changes very hard for people, and I think it was hard in both situations for the other people involved. Very hard. And I tried not to feel like, you know, I was the Scarlet Woman, but frequently I would refer to myself that way, as the Scarlet Woman and the homewrecker, because I was creating so many problems in these other relationships. And in both situations, I finally said, you know what, if it's not me, it's going to be somebody else. And so I can be respectful of the other relationships, respectful of the other person, I always am, but it's difficult when you really feel like you're causing a huge problem for somebody, because, you know, you don't want to create bad emotions on somebody else's part. You know, you really don't. I don't want to do that. It's not fair.
No, you're right.
But it's, you know, you go by.
But was everyone aware that there was someone else? I mean, is everyone supposedly, or is everyone poly in the relationship?
Well,
or
yes.
Someone having to get used to something really, 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 really new.
You can be in a relationship with one other person and say you're poly, but again, the reality of that situation is very different.
Yeah,
and
most things.
You know, just the bottom line of time. You know, just time in general. If you had spent a lot of time with one person, and all of a sudden a lot of that time gets taken up by somebody else, that creates a problem, and that was a problem in both relationships. I suddenly became somebody who took up time in those people's lives. And when you're used to getting it all, even if you say you're poly, when you're used to just getting all that time, it, you know, it can be difficult for people. It's, again, change, huge change. It's very hard for people.
But do you think as people involved in this kink that we're better equipped in a way to deal with it? Or
I think we are, because I've always thought as a lesbian and then as a leather person and anybody in this life, you spend more time examining your emotional life, your sexual orientation, and all those things, and you have to be more open with yourself because it's not the norm. So you have to learn about things. You have to learn that there are other people in the world like you. And at a younger age, you do spend a lot more time examining your sexuality because it's not the norm, and you really start to look at it. And so you were at my house a couple of weeks ago, and that frank and open conversation, there were, what, 8 or 9 of us around the table?
Yes.
We all learned something about each other, and it took us the entire evening to go around the table and talk the way that we did. And come on, you're not going to do that at a vanilla dinner party.
Well, absolutely.
It's not going to happen that way. Because I had a friend here from Canada who doesn't have a lot of kink in her life, I indulged her and I said, you can ask people questions. I warned everybody that you would ask a million questions because she does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she learned a lot. I learned a lot around that table that
absolutely.
Night. And but having that kind of frank and open sexual discussion is very difficult for people. But I think we do it a little better because we have that.
Yes, I agree. What advice would you give someone? I was talking to someone the other day, and they said if they had to advise someone, period, whether or not to get in this lifestyle, they would tell them no. They would advise against it because it is a very difficult thing to do. What would you say to someone who is thinking about doing a poly or getting involved in a poly relationship?
I believe that you should follow your dreams, and I believe that everybody has the right to be happy. And in, for example, my friend who was here from Canada last 2 weeks ago, she's struggling very much right now. And we talked a long time Sunday night, and I said, look, you have a right to be happy as long as you can do that without hurting too many people, and at least not consciously hurting anybody. And sometimes you do hurt people. You certainly don't mean to, but I think that you should be allowed to follow your dreams, and everybody has the right to make themselves happy.
Right. There's no way to do this. There's no way to make any choices about anything at any time, I don't think, without somebody's feelings getting a little miffed.
Oh, I think you're right. Absolutely.
And we have this idea, I don't know why, I mean, it's written all over the place in prose and posters and books that you cannot please everyone, yet some of us still try to do it, which is another reason why I do enjoy this lifestyle, because it says, okay, Max, if you say you want it this way, this is the way you can have it. And
absolutely.
I think that's pretty darn exciting.
It's actually something funny happening with Paula and I today. Paula's not my bottom. She's only ever been in a very slight SM sense years ago when we first used to play. But we don't have a dominant submissive dynamic at all. She's my best friend. And yet she's still more of a submissive and a bottom than anything else. And I'm definitely much more of a dominant. We were leaving the grocery store and I said, turn left. She didn't turn left. And I said probably 10 times to her, turn left, turn left. And I got louder and louder. And then I laughed and I said to her, people do what I say when I say it. Except her. And we had quite a good laugh about it. I said, I'm so used to people doing what I say when I say it right away. And I said, and I told you to turn left.
It does get to be just a part of every day. As a matter of fact, there's a friend listening in this evening on this show, and hopefully he'll be joining me next month. I went to visit him in Atlanta, and I told him I wanted to go shoe shopping. And we went in the store, and I kept trying on these shoes and just leaving them there. And then I purchased a pair of shoes, and I paid the cashier, and then I just walked out the store. And I never turned around. And I'm just walking and talking, and I've gotten, you know, several paces past the store. And I turned, and there was no one there. And he's standing in front of the door holding the bag saying, "You think you got a slave here, right?" I was just in my own world. It was really hysterical. He was just standing there looking at me like, "Lord have mercy." But anyway, back to some kind of guidelines for doing this healthy as you can.
I think you have to talk constantly, and you have to acknowledge people's emotions, good or bad, always. And I think that people need to be honest first with themselves. And that, I think, is the harder part, because I think if you can get people to talk, you can get some honesty from them. But I think it's very hard for people to be... I don't think everybody's in touch with their emotions. And I think that's very difficult sometimes for people. They're not used to doing that. We don't grow up doing that. I grew up in a family where nobody talked about their emotions. And that's... I think that's the hardest road, is to be honest with yourself and then be honest with your partners about how you feel. And also, you have to have a forum or a place where it's safe for you to acknowledge things like jealousy and negative emotions and disliking somebody. One of the people that I'm involved with would love to hate me. I know that she would love to hate me, and she can't. We like each other. It's difficult, but I know she'd like to hate me. But it's not possible, and just acknowledging that is a good step right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, what form do you use? I mean, do you send emails to each other? Do you do a live journal? Do you? I know a couple that leave a notebook in the bathroom. So whoever goes in the bathroom, you know, then they read what's to the other. And when the other person comes by and they go to the bathroom, they can just sort of sit on the throne and read what's really going on in the head of the other people. That's like the safe place, you know, the safe way. So what do you do? What do you guys do?
I think I'm a fairly good communicator, and the written part sometimes doesn't work for me because I want clarification sometimes on every word. I've been accused more than once of asking too many questions, particularly first thing in the morning. And I like to talk. With my other partner, we have a getaway that we do frequently, and we take off. And our rule is we can talk about anything until we cross the Potomac River. And once we get across the river, it's make-believe, not make-believe, but it's la-la land, and we don't discuss serious issues.
Uh-huh,
at that point, once we cross the river, that's our time. That's just the two of us. We don't discuss relationship issues. We don't discuss negative emotions. We just have a really good time. And I think time and place is important. That's been very hard for me. I'm a problem solver. If something's going wrong, I want to take care of it immediately. I want to discuss it. I want it out in the open. And I've actually had to learn to find the right space and time to do that. And actually, I just did it tonight. One of the people in my life is here tonight, and there were a couple of things I felt like I needed to talk to her about. And there were people in my house. I didn't want to take her aside. She would feel chastised. I didn't want to do that. And so once we crawled into bed and we were talking and we were settled and it was quiet, I said, I'm not angry with you. I'm not upset with you. But there's two things you have to know and you have to understand. And they were poly issues because my best friend is here. My focus is divided. Someone has to share me with yet another person, and we weren't doing it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I only see my best friend once or twice a year. If I'm really lucky, it's twice. And, you know, I made it clear, you have to share me, and it's not for very long, and it's really important to me that we share. And so picking the time and place to say things is also, I think, really important. And I don't think we have a set time and place. I don't with either person in my life, but we do talk often and very a lot about relationship issues.
Right. How did you deal with that, Jimmy? I mean, you did it for years and with what seemed like such grace. You know, it was just really beautiful to watch. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to see if he's going to run back in. He stepped out for a cigarette.
I know he could still hear me out there on the terrace. Get back in here.
I can't see if he's...
Max, how do you deal with it?
Mostly I try to... I don't try to. It's like, look, the focus has to be on me. Everyone is special to me. Everybody cannot do everything for me. As Kendra says, she cannot carry the litter by herself. I am so glad that she understands that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, there's just a lot of things I want to do, and I would actually wear one person out.
Me too.
And if you just keep the focus on me, and then everything is fine. If the focus is on me and we keep it about the greater good, it will be okay. And that's pretty much how I deal with it. And I had for 6 years there were several of us in the family. But every now and then I'd have to go, wait a minute, you're looking at the wrong place. You're looking at him or you're looking at her when you have to be looking at me. And then I'm going to look out for everybody if everybody does their part. For, you know what? It reminds me of old-fashioned village living, which is how we're going to go back to living if we keep messing around with the planet here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's like for me. You know, one person does this, another person does that, and we all sit down. The thing I insist upon is we all sit down and eat together. Sort of like the old-fashioned family, and we talk about things. You know, usually they do a lot of talking. They do the complaining amongst themselves, and that's a good place for it because if it really doesn't make any sense, I really don't want to hear it.
That's very interesting because I will say my relationships are structured very differently.
Yeah.
They're very separate. I have time and space in each relationship and they don't mix.
Mm-hmm.
We have tried, myself and one of the people I'm involved with because she's a switch. So we have tried to mix a little bit here and there and over the last year, and I would say most of the time it hasn't really worked very well. One of the four of us, or all four of us, or some combination, misbehaves in some way, and I'm as guilty as the next person.
Right.
And
well, is there a central figure?
No, there isn't in this situation. That's, I mean, everybody is not about totally meeting my needs, and I think that therein lies the difference. I'm not the same as you.
Right.
And
now, I do make certain that the personalities work together.
Right.
I'm not about to bring a nutcase in to create discord in my home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There has to be a certain, I have to sway that way. I just can't go, oh, well, this person is here and this person is there and nobody freaking likes anybody. That would not work.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's imperative that they do like each other, that they do respect each other and can work together.
Yeah. I like to make sure that everybody, and in this situation, everybody knows everybody, and they can be friendly, and they are all sort of friends in different ways. But I think mixing in a leather setting has been difficult. We've tried it in a more vanilla setting. We all went out at one point, and it's dicey. And the last time that we did it, I finally said, that's it, I'm done. I don't think I want to do this. I don't want to put myself through it. I don't want to put everybody else through it. And I think it comes down to the issue we first started to talk about. Everybody needs to be 100% secure in who they are in everybody's life, and it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, yeah. And it also has to be reinforced consistently.
Yes, yes.
Consistently. I gave a presentation this weekend at Black Beat, which, by the way, was another fantastic event. This is their fourth event, so I want to say you guys put on a really, really good thing. I had a good time. Anyway, but I gave a presentation that I had also given in Dallas, and it's called the, well, let me spell it, because I don't think that's a good word you're supposed to say on the radio. It's C-U-N-T-T. Does that make it any different, Chris?
I don't know. Let's see. You know, it's it's on our list, but you know, it's.
But you know, it when I first put it together, it came out spelling can't, but that wasn't very positive, so I had to change it. And it stands for communication, understanding, negotiation, training, and trust. And I talked about how these have to constantly be in motion, but that understanding, actually, as I said, it's spelled can't, was acceptance. And that's accepting or understanding who you are, what it is you want, what it is you need. There truly is an art to selfishness. And I don't care how you put it, how wonderful a person you think you might be. Bottom line, if you are not getting fed what you want, you are going to become a resentful human being, and you will create caca.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wherever you are and wherever you go. You know, you have to constantly be renegotiating, communicating, because we all change. It's the only thing we can count on. It's the only constant, change. I don't know why we're so afraid of it. Just trips me the heck out. But really, you know, understanding what you are and who you are and what you need and knowing that it changes is important. And it really is up to you to inform the other people, hey, you know what? I think I changed my mind about this, or I changed my mind about that. You know, and it's up to the other person to say, well, you know what? I really don't care. This is how it is. Or let's address it.
Yes.
You know? Did Jimmy come back? Is he going to tell us how he managed to do this for so long?
How did I manage to do this for so long?
You are.
We live in different cities.
We were talking about the difficulty in doing this.
Yes, it is very difficult.
But you managed it, even though I know everyone was not in the same place.
That's right. That's right, because mine came about by accident. It wasn't I didn't jump in it knowing full well what was going on. My present lover, when I met him 28 years ago, he had had a lover prior who had, they broke up, the lover moved out, and then Stanley met me. And at the same time that Stanley and I were getting to know each other, he was getting on better terms with his ex. And at one point, he asked me if I wanted him to stop seeing David. And I told him he should do what he thinks is best.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't, and I stayed. Because if he had dumped David, then I would have dumped him. Because I figured if he's the type of person who would dump somebody that way, then he would dump me down the line. I mean, that was my logic into going into it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, David didn't feel the same way. David wanted me out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we all three lived in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I put up with a lot of crap for a lot of years from David, because he wanted me out of the picture and did all kinds of different things to get rid of me, and it didn't work. And I just took it and took it and took it until one day I said, okay, if he does this one more time, that's it. I'm not going to speak to him again. He did it one more time, and I went through with my threat. And Stanley was kind of surprised. He didn't think I'd do it, but I did.
Uh-huh.
And it was shortly after that the two of them moved to Seattle. Stanley lives in both cities. He owns property here and, uh-huh. and there. In fact, he asked me to move to Seattle with him first before he asked David, but I didn't want to do that. So actually, now that David is in Seattle and I'm in Houston, we get along a lot better.
Okay.
Because it's just, you know, I call up there and he'll answer the phone and we'll have some niceties to say and then that's it. I guess over, you know, after 28 years, he's realized that I'm an important part of Stanley's life and I'm not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a truce, I guess, more than anything else. And then since Stanley was so... it was away half the time. I met a little bisexual guy,
and little.
Okay, he's big, and we hit it off. Actually, I say little because Jim was like 14 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley is 21 years older than me. You know, so we have the age thing on top of everything else.
Jimmy robs the cradle and the grave.
Terrible.
Yeah, I know. But Jim and I had been friends for quite a while. I went through, I was with him when his wife divorced him and left him. And before they even broke up, I could see that he was headed down the bisexual road. And as soon as they divorced, we became a lot stronger as a couple.
Right,
and
right.
I introduced him to BiNet Houston, and he met a bunch of bi people, and he kind of found his way.
Right.
And I was kind of happy about that because I knew that he needed a woman in his life as
uh-huh.
well as a man, and
uh-huh.
he was able to do that when he was here.
But that goes back to loving someone how they need to be loved.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, with Stanley and David,
mm-hmm.
was it so much, was it how you felt about Stanley, or was it just plain old daggone stubbornness that you weren't going to get run off?
Well,
can you relate to that, Lisa? I think it should be both.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. This took a matter of years because I don't say yes to a loving relationship. I mean, they have to be pretty special in my life, and I have to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Stanley chased after me for several years before I. You know, before I looked around and said, you know, wow, he's still here, and he's really an important part of my life, and I want to keep him.
Okay.
And so we went from there.
So then it really is a matter of making a decision as to what it's worth to you.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. That's all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, whether or not you fight the good fight or
mm-hmm.
you say to heck with it, you have to weigh what you're getting
yes.
out of it. And I think you have to do that constantly. Some people say it's kind of, you know, I'm kind of cold in that way. But I say, what is the point if you're not getting what you want or what you need?
Well, I was getting most of what I needed from Stanley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he is my Rock of Gibraltar. He is a totally practical type of man.
Right.
Whereas Jim ran on pure emotion.
Okay.
So, Lisa. So, you know, I was getting everything I needed from both of these men.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, do you find that within this relationship that even though you are having to navigate through it because it is new territory for so many reasons, you know, do you think it's worth it?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in the first 6 months, there were many times I threw up my hands and said, that's it. I'm not getting involved with another person who's involved with somebody else. I'm mm-hmm. not doing it. But I never gave up. And right now, both of these relationships almost have turned over to the year mark. And I wouldn't trade them right now for anything. They both, you know, they make me happy. I'm not 100% getting my needs met, and actually they both know that. And I'm not sure that another person is actually going to do that for me. As I said, I'm negotiating a little bit with somebody else. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that relationship is going to be. It may just be a little bit of a mentorship, which is how it's kind of started. but I would not trade it for anything. I am very, very happy with that situation.
I came about this probably maybe backwards. I don't know. I fell in love at the age of 18 with a wonderful guy. And I gave him my whole heart and body and soul. And, you know, this was the guy I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Well, as it turned out, that he was wonderful in so many ways, but there was enough of what I wasn't getting from that relationship that led to its demise. And I went through most of my 20s thinking that, you know, there just isn't one person out there that, you know, I don't see how I can get all I want from one person, so I didn't pursue relationships at all. And this thing with Stanley happened, and like I say, I guess because I wasn't looking for a relationship, he kept chasing, and finally I realized there was so much of what I needed and wanted from a relationship from him that I was ready to take a chance. And I didn't mind that he had another relationship because both of us made him happy. And I got to looking at that and I thought, well, you know, maybe that's what I need. And then the thing with Jim happened.
Yeah.
But nothing was planned ever. It just kind of fell into my lap.
Well, life's about discovering ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as soon as we pigeonhole and say, this is how it's going to be, we get into trouble. And not necessarily you have to think out the box. Maybe we just need to make our boxes a little bigger.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to identify this station, Chris?
No, it's too early.
We only have to do it at the top of the hour.
Oh, only at the top of the hour.
And besides, I was laughing at that point when you were talking about making your boxes bigger.
Well, you know, why not? It might, you know, make one feel better about doing something a little different.
You got to remember, I'm the twisted one of the group. I mean, you know, I was already laughing when Jimmy says, you know, the relationship fell into his lap, I go, so to speak.
Yeah, well, hey.
Okay. Is there any particular words of advice that you'd like to give before we say bid our audience adieu?
Adieu.
Lisa?
I really, what I said earlier, pursue your dreams and find what makes you happy, and really that honest and open communication is the only way to go. And mm-hmm. even, and this is one thing I always tell people about poly, even with the very best of people under the very best of circumstances, sometimes it isn't going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to come to that place too sometimes and understand that. And I think I watch it around me, and sometimes I think these are good people who really want this to work, who really want it to make it what it should be, and it doesn't always, even with the best of intentions.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not right, and you really do have to accept that. You can give it your all. You can give it all of somebody else's that you borrow, but no matter what, you're not going to make it right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we do have to accept that and not just pound something into the ground, because we really end up having to follow. I really appreciate you joining me this morning. I know I had to call and wake you up.
Oh, no, I set an alarm. Way too much beer and everything made me think, oh, we need to set an alarm.
Okay.
So. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate the welcome that you've extended to me here. And I look forward to seeing you again. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Jimmy?
Yes.
Chris? I'm going to have lots of fun with this.
Oh, I think so.
You know, I was, because I was up this morning, and I am home, and I had my laptop.
Oops. There we go. Okay, sorry.
Okay, I had a couple of people, you know, IM me. Are you still doing your radio show?
Mm-hmm.
What time are you coming on? So, I'm really looking forward to, doing this.
Good.
Very much. One of the people that IM'd me this morning and asked was I'm doing the show is a friend of mine out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I was telling you about, I just walked away like he was my slave or something. very interesting guy, and I wanted to talk to him about something I've brought up a lot. I've often said how I think that this has changed the industry and how people view domination because of you know, porn stars that have entered, you know, and how this kind of meshes together.
Mm-hmm.
And he has worked in the porn industry.
Oh.
For many years as a producer and an agent for a lot of people. So I think that'll make for some interesting talk next month.
I think so.
And as I told you, I really want to work on doing an interview with Vivian of NCFS.
Mm-hmm.
And the people involved with the Barbara Nitke case. And maybe, hopefully, I'm going to work on it, Barbara Nitke herself.
Good.
So
now you realize next month is got 5 Saturdays,
right?
And Chris is doing a live remote on the first Saturday, so everybody's getting moved down the notch. So you'll
okay.
be on the fifth Saturday.
Fifth Saturday,
yeah. Yeah, the last Saturday of the month.
Okie dokie. All right. Well, I'm going to go to bed now because I'm awfully tired, sleepy.
Yeah, because it's 3. It's 3:45 for you already.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I want to thank everybody for joining me. This is Max Rules, and if you want to send me some questions or ideas or talk to me next month on the show, it's maxrules@maxrules.com.
That's how do you spell that?
That's MAXRULZ.
Z. .com.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Max.
See you guys later.
You bet.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
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 There we go.
Got that.
That worked out well.
Yeah, it did, actually.
Yeah.
Now that we know what buttons to push. We were just scared there when we put the other one on there. I guess we could have probably locked in
I don't know.
The other caller.
I don't know.
Hey, it worked. Okay, we'll play a little music. We'll come to the round table.
Okay.
And just as a little teaser,
mm-hmm.
one of the things we'll talk about on the round table is a cautionary tale of a janitor, his dildo, a rope, and 2 Samoans.
Wow.
That should get you intrigued.
It certainly does.
So now we're going to go to some weird music.
All our music is weird.
Oh, this is weirder than weird.
Okay.
This is kind of harpsichordal music.
Harpsichordal music?
Yeah.
By a queer artist.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Very queer. Queer in both senses, because when you look at the faces, you look at the pictures of the artist, then, you know, they uh-huh. look weird.
Oh.
Where else are you going to hear Pussy Tourette and Klaus Nomi together? I think those artists were made for each other, especially the songs I picked.
I think so. I can hardly wait.
So, let's go first to a little bit of Pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's gay. Actually, let's dial in the right number. I thought I dialed in.
Let's try that.
Let's try it now. Take two.
I'm not just one of your little toys. born. Grown-ups check where you pay, and then they decide just how you're gonna be. Girls, pink and quiet. Boys, noisy and blue. Seems like a dumb way to choose what you'll do. It's only a wee-wee, so what's the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There's better things to discuss. Now girls must use makeup, girls' names and girls' clothes, and boys must wear sneakers, but not pantyhose. The grown-ups will teach you the rules to their dance, and if you get confused, they'll say, look in your pants. It's only a wee-wee, so what's the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There's better things to discuss. Now if I live to be nine, I won't understand why grown-ups are totally obsessed with glands. If I touch myself, don't you do that, I'm told. And they treat me like I might explode. It's only a wee-wee, what is the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, oh, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There are better things to discuss. Now, grown-ups, watch closely each move that you make. Boys, you must not cry, and girls, you must make cake. It's all very formal, and I think it smells. Let's all be abnormal, act like ourselves. It's only a wee-wee, so what's the big deal? It's only a wee-wee, what's all the fuss? It's only a wee-wee, and everyone's got one. There are better things to discuss.
If you ever need a policeman, all you gotta do is holler. They're always there, right on the job. For instance, here's the best one that money can buy.
Help! 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 Please! Please!
Someone call a policeman. I'm a real policeman. Oh, and I'd love to give you the third degree. While gazing at my sexy form, with rapture you'll be stricken. Take one look at me, fellows. In me you'll find some chicken. A ruffian wants to bite me. I gave him one cold gaze. And as I rudely messed his hair, I said to him, I said, you're arrested, you're arrested. Now come at once with me. We're going to the station, and the sergeant, she'll serve tea. Now stop that tittering, I insist, you horrid, horrid man. Because I'm a real policeman.
No.
Honest to God, I am. You're a large one, you are. You know, while walking down the street one day with my girlfriend by my side, she said, look at that horrible fist fight. I think I'll run and hide. But instead of feigning, as you'd suppose, my smelling salts I drew, and dashing mascara on my eyes, and to the fray I flew. So I says to him, you booger, you're arrested, you're arrested. Now come at once with me. We're going to the station, and the sergeant, she'll serve tea. Now stop the snickering, I insist, you horrid, horrid man, because I'm a real policeman.
No.
Honest to God, I am. You know, while cruising in my squad car last night, I came upon two lovely boys parked in a car. I'll be damned, there they are.
So I shined my flashlight in the car, and I says, okay, fellas, what's going on in there? One of the boys said, well, nothing, officer. We're just sitting here talking. It's just chewing the fat, you know? So I said, well, how long have you been parked here? He said, about an hour, sir. I said, you mean you've been parked here an hour and nothing has happened? He said, no, sir. I said, well, here, you get out and hold the flashlight. Let me in there. Well, I'll never forget my toughest arrest was a bartender, big and rough. He says I wasn't a policeman. I didn't look tough enough. But did I bawl him out something terrible? Right then I called his bluff. And fluttering my kerchief in his face, I said, I've had enough. Oh, I'm so mad I could spit. So I says to him, with authority in my voice, you're arrested, you're arrested. Now come at once with me. We're going to the station, and the sergeant, she'll serve tea.
Well, wait, hold everything, hold
everything. What's the matter with you?
You said three times, the sergeant, she'll serve tea.
Certainly, I said it three times.
No, you mean the sergeant, he'll serve tea. You don't know your English.
Well, you don't know my sergeant. Now stop that stickering, I insist, you horrid, hard man, because I'm a real policeman.
No.
Honest to God, I am.
A little bit of classic comedy there. I got to write that one down there. We went for a little bit of the weird stuff. A caller agrees after I played the first song there, Pussy Tourette's I Think He's Gay. Does fit the category of weird music to play. I still see that as a comedy routine there. I see three fat guys in French Renaissance. French Renaissance clothing. We started off with that. Then came Klaus Nomi, You Don't Own Me.
You Don't Own Me.
We were thrilled with that.
I mean, there's two songs on there. And yeah, actually. I mean,
It's My Party?
Well, no, the other one was Ding Dong, which is.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Which, you know, I could also segue it with Music Bear, who I played after him, because Music Bear does a song, does a version of If I Only Had a Brain.
Yes, that's right.
So we could have gone for a Wizard of Oz theme, too, but I went with the weird stuff.
Yes.
It's Only a Wee Wee.
And who did that?
That was Music Bear.
Music Bear, okay, I couldn't remember who did that. Yes.
Yeah, the Unabomber's neighbor.
Oh, that's a very bad. That's a very bad picture of a nice-looking man.
So, for the Unabomber, you're going to play I Only Had a Penis?
No, Only a Wee Wee.
It's Only a Wee Wee. So,
Only a Wee Wee.
Yeah. So what's the big deal?
Well, if you got to ask why it's a big deal, then, I don't know.
Why don't you ask the guy with the face beard in his pillow what a big deal it is?
There's that. So we've got some cute little stories here that I've pulled off of the world's greatest news gathering source.
By the way, one thing.
Yeah?
You remember we were talking about movies last week?
Yes.
I remembered somebody who should be on the list.
Okay.
Derek Jarman.
Oh, anything by him.
Yeah, Caravaggio.
Yes.
Sebastian.
Yes.
Edward II, and he gave us Tilda Swinton.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enough of that.
Yes, he did.
So let's start off with this cutesy one that I gave the teaser on.
Okay.
No, not that one. This one.
Did you go to Rotten.com again?
Yes, the Daily Rotten.com.
Oh,
with
boy.
Starting off with the cautionary tale of a janitor, his dildo, a rope, and two Samoans.
Oh, my goodness.
When Mauricio P. Castro... Now, this is from the Orange County Weekly, which is the Orange County version, I guess, of the Houston Press.
Only in California.
When Marcelino P. Castro plunged a dildo into his rectum in the wee hours of February 20th, he could not know that it would lead to his arrest last week.
Oh, my.
God.
But when the dildo became stuck and Castro began a ride that took him through UCI Medical Center's emergency room and may land him in prison.
Why?
According to law enforcement officials, Castro, a married 42-year-old janitor from Mexico City, arrived at work that day, called his boss on the telephone, and offered this story. Yeah. I was raped. I am so embarrassed. It was two guys. I was cleaning in the restroom, and two large dark men, possibly Samoan, came in, put a rope around my neck, and began strangling me. And they put a damp cloth over my mouth so I couldn't breathe. When I woke up, I was alone in the restroom with my pants down my knees. Alarmed, the boss called the police, And fire trucks and paramedics rushed to the scene, to the scene of the alleged crime, an office building in the city of Orange. He repeated his story to 12 individuals, according to the felony complaint that was obtained. He told two police officers that he was clueless about what his assailants did to him while he was passed out, except that he woke with a sore bottom. At the hospital, doctors ordered a rape exam kit. The day after the incident, Castro was more certain. He was now positive that he had been raped by two Samoans. They put a damp cloth with a chemical smell over my mouth, and when I woke up, I was alone in the restroom. But the stories didn't add up. It was all fiction. So now he's facing.
When did they find the
how
implement?
How far did he put this thing up there?
I don't know. I want to know when they figured out that he had something up his butt, and when they actually got it out. I mean, all these days is he walking around with this thing still in him?
I don't know, but I mean, now he's facing 12 felony counts.
Oh God! My goodness.
For alleged false statements that he gave to cops, nurses, doctors, work supervisors, law enforcement investigators. They believe he attempted to use his dildo encounter as a way to fraudulently obtain compensation from his employer.
Oh. That one came back to bite him in the ass.
Here's a quote from the prosecutor. Mr. Castro was accused of sexually experimenting with a dildo, getting it stuck, and later making a series of false statements out of embarrassment and shame. He faces more than possible prison time. There's also $30,000 in restitution that they think he should be paying as well.
Ooh.
He's out on $50,000 bail.
Yeah, and
that,
there should be a
he
should be paying a stupid tax.
Yeah.
Well, you know these straight guys that have an anal fetish.
Right. Buy your wife a strap-on.
They're too embarrassed to ask their wives or girlfriends to.
Yeah.
Well, know. And their girlfriends or wives probably would freak. They probably freak out, too.
Yeah.
Those guys find me on the internet all the time, and it's like, tear a dime a dozen.
But supposedly, I mean, well.
Well, the internet has helped a lot of people like
this.
Yes.
He was okay enough to go in and purchase the dildo. By the way, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is the After Hours Roundtable.
It must have been one with, you know, two ends or something. I mean, because if it had the full equipment, how could he gotten that lost up his butt?
Yeah.
I mean, well.
Who? Can you
apparently
imagine
what
it?
Happened is, you know, after he started there, his head went up there and pushed it up there.
Evidently. There you go.
A double-headed dildo stuck up your butt.
Yeah, they only have a picture of the victim, not the attacker.
was that the rabbit he was using?
I who knows what this guy, but, you know, like I said, to go through all of this to, you know, telling everybody that you were
raped by two Samoans.
Well, I mean, the whole cultural thing of anything's better than admitting that you have a relationship with your butthole.
Well, because also, I mean, he is Hispanic, and there is some of that machismo.
Yeah, yes. I mean, the whole man must not be penetrator, or he is no longer man.
Well, you know, he was penetrated by himself, so that...
I don't think that matters. It's just the whole idea of me? No, never.
And I wonder, where did he get this idea about Samoans?
Yeah, that's priceless. Maybe just because they're big.
I don't know.
So, what else you got?
Okay, let's see. This one doesn't have to do with our community, but it has to do with Barney the Dinosaur.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I'm going to admit, I actually sent an email to this newspaper. On Tuesday, this is a letter, I guess, to the Fallbrook Bonsall Village News.
Which state?
California, I guess.
Okay.
Once again?
California. On Tuesday, August 8th, I took my family out to Daniel's for groceries. And I have a 6-year-old daughter who learned how to read from Barney and Friends book series. We stepped out of the family van and she was excited to see a Barney movie being advertised on Daniel's Marketlet sign. She said, "Look, Daddy, a Barney movie." I couldn't see it, but as she guided my eyes to a vulgar obscenity arranged there on the sign, look up there, Barney's penis. I was shocked when I saw the words arranged on the sign, and I quickly averted her eyes and escorted her into the store. Since then, she has not stopped mentioning Barney's penis. This has shaken the bedrock of our family. I made an emergency call to our church's pastor about this bombshell in my daughter's life, and he's unsure how it will affect her future.
Oh, well, I can tell you one thing it affected her immediate future was the more they freak out, the more she's going to say it. Oh, boy. I got a word that really gets a reaction.
She's going to ride that one for all it's worth.
Yeah, the instant she saw her daddy freak out, it was like, ooh, this works. I'm going to use this.
This sort of sick joke is typical of unlawful teenagers across the country. But I just didn't think in this little town of Fallbrook was home to such hoodlums.
Oh, please.
I was frightened for my daughter's future. She won't stop bringing up this horrible movie title. I would like Daniel's Market to apologize for traumatizing my daughter, and I'd like the pranksters to just know how vile their criminal act was. So there's a little button down there for comments or questions, and I said, how innocent of a 6-year-old girl is if she knows what the word penis is?
It's just.
I'm waiting for a reply.
Ridiculous.
It is 2006.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
but so, I mean, there was there was a time, and there was people who were just fine, who thought it was just a great idea. That, you know, there were lots of women who grew up not knowing what a penis was until their traumatic wedding night.
Mm. It's almost as bad as an email I got of bad business URLs, and one of them was www.pinisland.com.
Yes, penis land.
Yeah, or the other one was www.renttahoe.com.
Rent-a-hoe.
Yeah.
but it is amazing how many people really have a lot of faith. They have a lot of faith in ignorance.
Where does he get off? Yeah, a sign has been vandalized, and why does he think the grocery store need to apologize?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Easy money.
Why does he think it's their fault?
Only thing they're at fault for is not taking care of their sign.
They may not have known it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, people always seem to be going for the easy money. That's what I think it really does boil down to.
And that girl is going to have more problems from being overly sheltered.
His daughter.
From the parents than if they just sat down and explained to her what a penis is.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying, though, is when Dad freaked out, she was like, the light went on. This must be an interesting subject. Everybody got excited.
I'm pretty sure we can find a gay movie called Barney's Penis.
Well, there was, you know, yeah, Edward.
Edward
Penis Hands.
Go to Q Video. I'm sure there's one there.
Where's the cute story? What I like on with the DailyRot.com is you can, you know, propose your own little headline for these things.
there's
this other one. Words you don't want in your obituary.
Uh-oh.
Is the headline they recommended for this, and these are the words you don't want to hear in your obituary.
Yes.
Discovered naked with KY jelly and a condom next to his body.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that reminds me of a story I have to tell you.
And the person whose obituary that was in is a former aide to former Mayor Rudy Giuliani in New York.
Oops.
They're looking for two mystery men who visited a prominent gay public relations executive days before he was found dead. And part of what they say is, you know, Martin Barrett, 49, a former aide to then-Mayor Rudy Giuliani, was discovered naked with KY jelly and a condom next to his body, authorities said. Strange enough, it was in the Greenwich Village.
Yay!
Wow.
Imagine that. Good old village. The story that relates to that I have is a true story. This friend of mine was spending some night at a friend's house out of town, And he decided he wanted to relieve himself in the middle of the night, and he reached over and sort of felt under a drawer, and getting what he thought was lubricant and what worked well as lubricant. But when he woke up in the morning, he discovered it was shoe polish.
Oh!
And it was everywhere.
Oh, my goodness.
Needless to say, he was embarrassed.
Next time, turn on the light.
Well, yep. I still like that scene of one of the American Pies where the kid was thinking he was going for the KY, and instead he grabbed one of those glue things.
Oh. But anyway, using shoe polish gives a whole new meaning to the term polishing the knob.
There you go.
Bing.
Out of Miami? Yeah, we're talking Miami here. Yeah, police continue to search for a man who burned down an adult bookstore in Miami after watching a pornographic film this month.
What, you didn't like the ending?
After viewing the film, the man told the clerk he had a guilty conscience. Then he doused the store with a liquid, ignited it, and calmly walked out.
Now, I thought Pee Wee Herman was supposed to stay away from those bookstores out there in Florida.
I've heard of people like having post-orgasm depression and second thoughts, but man.
They showed him requesting change from the clerk and entering a small booth to watch the movie. You know, after the viewing, the man told the clerk he had a guilty conscience.
Enjoyed it.
Who talks?
He enjoyed it too much.
Talk about a hunk of burning rail.
I admit, I talked to a clerk once after leaving the movies in an adult bookstore, and it was to lodge a complaint about the movie selection he put in there.
Oh. I've had wonderful conversations with bookstore attendants. Yeah. In fact, I have friends that I actually go talk to who are bookstore attendants and do nothing but talk to them. Now, in the old days, I didn't more than talk.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, in fact, there was a... I saw it as a nice way to kill time and check out who was coming in terms of whether I was interested or not.
Yeah, unfortunately, that place with that bookstore clerk, it's no more right now until hopefully they get their stuff together.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, when a bunch of sheriffs come in at noon and lock up the place.
Yeah, I read about that online.
Did that recently happen?
Yeah,
a couple months ago. A month ago.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not my friend then.
Yeah. The nice part about it is when the sheriffs came in and shut down the place, the guys that were in the back watching the movie were released. They weren't charged with anything.
Right, they let them go.
They just, you know.
Okay, we're closing up.
We had a whole litany of things allegedly that they were getting the owner for.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought they had kind of eased up on that since things became legal.
Well, it was, you know, permits and back taxes and all of this
illegal
kind of stuff.
Aliens and dirty movie. I mean, supposedly
and not making your payment to the highest law enforcement money can buy.
Yeah, I mean, some people were saying it was because they had glory holes, and it's like, you know, that's only a city ordinance.
Yeah,
it's not, and this was outside the city limits.
Right.
Huh.
Let's see. Let's go here. This is a cutesy story out of Chicago. Cook County prosecutors say a 29-year-old man traveling with his mother desperately didn't want her to know he packed a sexual aid for their trip to Turkey.
Oh, I think I heard about this.
So he told security it was a bomb.
Oh, that's smart. Another person that needs to be paying stupid tax.
Yes, thank you.
Especially when you hear the name. Maden Azad Amin.
Oh,
29. Skokie, Illinois, was stopped August 16th. After guards found an object in his baggage that resembled a grenade. When officers asked him to identify it, the guy said it was a bomb, according to the prosecutors. He later told officials he had lied about the item because his mother was nearby and didn't want her to hear it was part of a penis pump.
Oh, my God. Oh, embarrassing.
He has been charged with felony disorderly conduct. They're still saying that he said pump and it with an accent or something. The security officer didn't hear him say pump. She heard him say bomb.
Yeah.
Back in the days when, you know, there wasn't so much terrorist stuff, this one friend of mine, it was Easter, and they he was going to visit some friends. Another friend wanted to send them an Easter egg, so he had a metal Easter egg that he put up his nether extremity with the whole idea that he would arrive at the friend's house and lay the egg for them and say, Happy Easter. Well, needless to say, the egg set off the sensor.
Oh, my God.
And he, thank God they had a sense of humor. It was California in the 70s, so.
Well, you know, there was a judge, I believe it was here in Houston or somewhere.
No, I forget where he was.
But he got in big trouble for, while cases were being done before his, before him, he had a penis pump under there and pumping away.
Oh, yeah,
I believe he got 5 years for it.
Well, he'll find a substitute for the
he
penis
won't need
pump.
It.
Yeah. He'll be getting pumped instead.
He told the Chicago Sun-Times after hearing the security officers did not give him a chance to explain the misunderstanding that he would never use the word bomb while going through a security checkpoint. He does not discover a penis pump an unusual item to own. It's normal, he said. Half of America, they use it.
I think that's probably true.
But why were you so chicken to say it?
Exactly. It's mom. He was traveling with mom. There's the key thing.
Yeah. But a 29-year-old guy going to Turkey, a Muslim country.
Well, he's probably Muslim, right?
Yeah, well, with the name Madina.
Yeah, well, his mom does not want to know.
It sounds like a Catholic name to me.
If he's a Muslim, his mom does not want to know about a penis pump.
But, well, I think the Turkish customs official would probably have something to say about that thing.
Sure, but I think he was thinking of mom. He was more afraid of mom than anybody in this story.
You know,
that's my guess.
Once he got to Turkey and he pulled it out, he can probably pass it off as a hookah pipe.
There you go. There you go. There
you Maybe, yeah, I guess.
That'd be interesting watching him show that one off.
Oh, gosh.
Let's see. Let's go to Georgia now. Atlanta. I was mortified. I was absolutely mortified. I could not believe they expected an elementary school student to read this, says parent Michelle Moncrief.
Oh, Lord.
When fourth grader Isley Moncrief brought her homework assignment home to read over the student handbook with her parents, Bobby and Michelle Moncrief say the sexual misconduct indecency portion was too graphic even for them to handle. Some of the definitions were extremely sexually explicit. It made me blush. I could not believe it. I could not bring myself to read this or tell her or read this. I'm so busy with doing the southern accent. I'm losing my space. I bring myself to read this or read her out loud. Michelle says she's carefully chose what part she would read over with Esley, like kissing. The Moncriefs tried to explain the definitions of rape, sodomy, and oral sex as simply and as least graphically as possible.
Well, how else would she have gotten in this earth if it wasn't for those things? But anyway.
Well, you know, childbirth out of sodomy usually doesn't happen.
Well, how else would we get lawyers?
She had a confused look on her face, but you could tell she didn't want to ask questions. She didn't understand, so she didn't want to know how to say or react. The school district said the code is based on state law and state reporting requirements. It's important for this information to be shared with the upper elementary students, parents and students, because beginning in the fourth grade, students could face disciplinary panel for not following the school rules. So they're trying to explain to these kids what, you know, what you can do and you can't do in school. So they sent out this little thing with trying to tell 4-year-olds about sodomy and, so see, not 4-year-olds, I'm sorry, fourth graders.
That'd make them about 9.
So, well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, about 10. Yeah, so, yeah, 9, 10, 11, somewhere in that area. So the Moncriefs.
I wish somebody had given me information about sodomy when I was 9 years old.
Me too.
It would have made life a lot simpler, a lot sooner.
Yes. Right. I was 15 before I knew what I was.
Yeah.
Well, I was 10 and I already knew all about sodomy and...
Yeah, but you were Catholic.
I was doing...
I was.
Oh, I love that.
I was doing
Touché.
It. I was doing it. I just didn't know there was a name for it.
Exactly. Exactly. There you go.
Okay. It's like when I put it in his mouth, call it that too.
Let's go to a little bit more serious thing here.
Okay.
Now,
serious.
Especially now Jimmy's came back.
You're going to ruin our reputation.
Well,
our reputation.
We're kind of touching on HIV.
Oh, okay.
It's a little problem they're having in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
A 35-year-old high school teacher named Beke was lucky to be alive thanks to the free antiretroviral pills that kept his HIV in check. Antiretroviral.
There we go.
He felt strong and had no side effects. Life was normal, as mm-hmm. normal as it gets with an incurable disease.
Yeah.
Then in February, he ditched the pills.
Oh, not a good idea.
And started taking a mystery potion sold outside of Durban in South Africa.
Which is probably mainly garlic.
Let's see here where it comes down. It is made by a former truck driver who says his late grandfather came to him in dreams with a recipe for an herbal drink that could reverse HIV's march to full-blown AIDS and death. Eager to banish his body of the virus that stalks 1 in 5 South Africans, Beke instead found himself sicker than ever.
Mm-hmm.
3 months later, he begged his doctor to put him back on the antiretrovirals, only to find out he had built up a resistance to make the pills less effective.
Exactly.
Oh, shame.
Yep.
The makers of the herbal remedy said I was going to be cured, said a weak-voiced Beke, who gave only his first name because of HIV's powerful stigma. So we've been talking. You hear so much lately, with we've got this cure coming.
You hear it every week.
Yeah, and here's a story out of a guy who take it, and he says, there's still like 2,000 people who are taking this medicine because they're trying something that's cheaper than
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the stats in South Africa, it's 900 deaths a day.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Chris.
It's incredible over there.
Chris, yeah. I can remember back in the early days of HIV AIDS here in Houston, and I'm sure Jimmy knows an awful lot about this.
Yeah, there was the same thing.
People were coming up with some of the most craziest, idiotic, alternate treatments imaginable.
Yeah,
there was. I think I heard one was boiling blood. One of them was rhinoceros horn.
Urine and all kinds. Yeah.
There was a comedian that was who does a routine called. Something like West State Side Story or something like that. And he was talking about some of the treatments. I forget the comedian's name. He says, drink peroxide.
Yeah.
He's going.
Well, there are some things that do seem to have some effect. Not every alternative thing is bad for you, and I'm not saying to replace your drugs with it, but there are a lot of things that can help you. I mean, as I've said before, I've been HIV ever since you could be.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I've never done any of the drugs. And I've done a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. I've never done them with the idea that they were going to cure me or make me better. And basically have sort of had this wait and see attitude. I generally have a fairly healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, well, what
they call a holistic approach.
Yeah.
I would never tell. I would never tell anybody not to do the drugs some people seem to progress very quickly, and they seem to need the drugs very mm-hmm. quickly. It seems that the current wisdom, even with doctors, is to have more of a let's see what happens attitude before they immediately start taking the drugs. Which I think, considering my case, might not be necessarily a bad idea, but with a doctor's care.
Yes, and holistic and herbal and all of those things should be used with...
Mm-hmm.
With the cocktail
anything that I'm talking about, I'm not just sort of talking about taking the advice of some woo-woo person and not just sort of, you know, my intuition told me. I'm talking about, you know, really staying very closely in touch with your own body mm-hmm. and your own health and what's going on with you and not playing games with it.
So it, your body has not progressed.
Well, my immune system is compromised. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had about 100 T cells for, 15 years or so. Yeah. And it kind of bounces around right there. My viral load is fairly low.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the quality of life I've had thus far, seems to... And, you know, at least as far as I'm concerned, the quality of life that I have is excellent, as opposed to how, I don't know, as opposed to anything else right now. I mean, mm-hmm. It ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing in terms of just my everyday quality of life.
Yeah, that's why I stayed on the same cocktail for as long as I did, even though it brought on changes in my body. But,
And I'm definitely, you know, sort of always, it's always there in my back pocket. If something changed, I would not hesitate to do the drugs. They're sort of always in my back pocket as, you know.
Well, for me, the disease started progressing. So it was, my doctor and I came to the decision that I should get on them.
Good, good.
And they have... I feel the last 10 years has been a gift.
It's incredible.
Because I would be dead without them.
And they're so much better now in terms of the how much easier it is to take them, all that sort of thing.
Yes, that's the improvements that have been made. There are less side effects in the newer drugs, and they seem to work longer.
On the flip side, though, you have people who think, my counts are down or whatever, I'm fine, I don't need to take it anymore.
Mm.
Or they think, I can go out and just have a normal relationship.
Right.
No.
You have to understand, no matter how low or how high your counts are, you have to be careful.
Absolutely.
Sure. You have to disclose to your partner, listen, I have this.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you can get it too. But I'm letting you know ahead of time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I hear too many times...
But I also think... I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish up.
I hear too many times, you know, people who are in their teens and 20s who think, I'm invincible. It's not going to happen to me. And when it does, it's devastating.
Yeah. But you see, even... Oh, I lost my train of thought.
Talking about disclosure and
but, relationships. But I have a... undetectable viral load.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I don't have any virus.
Right.
That means that it's not detectable. Mm-hmm. That means there are a lot less copies being made by my body than some other people.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I am any less...
And I would also advise anybody out there having sex and in a relationship, whatever, to assume... that in any casual sex partner you're going to have is HIV positive.
Absolutely.
And you're in a fool's paradise if you don't.
Just
because people will lie to you about it.
That's right.
They will.
They will, you know, and most people don't disclose. So,
and
you know.
And 1/3 of the people who are positive don't know it because they never went back to get their results.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So, no anal sex without a condom, period. Mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm. But I do want to say, though, that before we get too far off of it, out in Africa, they're desperate.
Absolutely.
You know, they are at where we were at back in the early 80s.
Yes.
And they do not have the knowledge.
The problem is that they don't have the...
support?
No, they don't have the money it takes.
The other thing, too, is that here in the U.S., there's not as much of a stigma now as there was 20 years ago.
Oh, yes, there is. It just went underground. But the stigma is still there.
The stigma is there, but it's more prominent in third world countries.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think there's still the stigma, but I think, generally speaking, people are better educated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In terms of sort of like OFRA land and everything, I think at least people aren't quite as ignorant in terms of their levels of fear.
And as much as
because I mean you must remember when people didn't want to touch somebody that was HIV positive ever. Yeah. Didn't know kissing, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
I want a brand new dish. You know, they, you know, we can't use the same dishes. All that stuff. And that's not quite as.
Yeah.
There's a report coming up on TV. It was Peter Jennings' last report. And it's about AIDS and HIV/AIDS in the African American community,
mm-hmm.
and how prevalent and prominent it's become in the community now.
Yes,
you know.
I have a question. I was at my mom's house last week, and there was on the news, evening news. They said they figured out how the HIV virus does whatever, and we didn't hear it, and then my mom forgot and changed the channel, and so we never found out, but they said it was like some way that it replicates or some mm-hmm. way that I was wondering if anybody knew what it was that they figured out.
I hadn't heard anything about
it. You would think it would be.
Now, I'll say this. Part of our own American medical community is living in a fool's paradise, because we still, as a gay man, we and gay people, we still cannot give blood. But if you are a single straight guy, you can still give blood. But yet, according to the CDC, in heterosexual America, that's the fastest growing demographics of HIV.
Well, there are still the talks on that. What's going to help with changing that policy is the fact that other countries are looking at their bans and reversing it. The problem is that the proposal that what's been heard lately is that if you are, they don't use the term gay. In the
if
medical
you have
profession,
sex with
MSM, men who have sex with men, and you have to be MSM celibate for 1 year
before, or longer,
at least 1 year before they'll let you donate blood, and that's the proposal they're coming up with.
And that would be a new proposal, because a few years ago, if you had sex with another man after 1977,
that's the current policy. Is that if you're a man who has had sex with another man since 1977, 78, you cannot donate blood. Period.
Right.
But the new the policy that's been the blood banks are proposing, because you know
they need blood.
If people aren't donating blood enough, mm-hmm. is if you remain celibate for 1 year. Is with the new proposal what they would like to have,
mm-hmm.
but the CDC is still clamping down.
How are they going to prove that? I mean, how do you prove that?
Well, the fact is that you have to, when you donate blood, that's one of the questions they ask you, and then you sign the form.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know it comes back that you're positive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they come and they question you, and you say they find out you did have sex within the past year,
mm-hmm.
You're looking at jail time.
Yeah, okay.
Because you did sign a document, you attested there. It's perjury.
Perjury, right.
Yep.
Okay.
So, that you know, there are ways they can get
mm-hmm.
on that, but like I said, you know, they've got to track the stuff down.
So I guess that's going to rule out the Catholic priesthood?
Whoa! Another Catholic. We had a wonderful historical event that came up this past week. August 25th, 1989, Congressman Barney Frank confirms that he paid a male prostitute for sex on several occasions. He then later hired him as a housekeeper, but scandal erupted when the prostitute was discovered using the congressman's apartment as a bordello.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, I do too.
Imagine someone paying someone for sex in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I know.
How earth-shattering.
That's why the congressmen don't use bookmarks anymore. They just bend over the pages.
That joke's older than that scandal.
Yep.
That joke's older than Roy, but anyway.
That's old.
I was going to say, Roy is as old as the joke.
So we've wrapped up on the stuff.
I'm older than Roy.
For the
well, then you're older than the joke.
Ooh.
True.
So
it's good to be this old, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yes. An interesting little show. There's a couple things I was going to mention here. An interesting show that's up on MTV now.
Yes.
It's called Two-a-Days.
Two-a-days?
Two-a-days. It's about a high school football team.
All right.
Apparently, they hired some gay photographers to videotape this. The opening scene of the series features one of them getting out of bed wearing just shorts.
Yeehaw!
Oh.
After practice, they show them, you know, stripping down to their shorts or their pants, they're just keeping on their pants and standing in a trash can filled with ice.
Oh,
why are they doing that?
Because it's hot outside, so they're trying to cool down their legs so they don't cramp up.
Oh,
All right, that makes sense.
And I'm looking at these guys, and
I'm going to have to watch that.
I have a feeling that the quarterback is on our team. And
so who wants to be the wide receiver or the tight end?
No, actually, the wide receiver is the one that's, you know, he's swimming there with his girlfriend.
I was like,
one of the tackles.
That's just a cover incident.
Yeah, one of the tackles who's on
wide receiver.
Named Goose. I believe he's also on our team.
Oh, cute.
Goose or Moose?
Goose.
Oh, God.
That was an interesting little thing was on this past week.
Isn't that just scandalous? Homosexuals in athletics. Anyway.
another little thing there. If you ever watch the show Mythbusters.
Yeah, that's a fun show.
Yeah, I like that.
This past week.
Yes.
So if you see the repeat for one that was talking about breaking and entering stuff, you must watch it.
Right.
Because, do you watch the show?
I've watched
occasionally.
It.
Yeah.
You know Tori?
Yeah.
And Grant?
Yeah.
They both have scenes where all they're wearing is boxer shorts.
Oh.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Oh.
So. Tori, the former male prostitute, has a little furry chest. They're in his boxer shorts before he puts on this neoprene suit.
One of those guys is a former prostitute?
If you can believe the biography that was written about him by Adam.
Okay.
From the show.
Oh.
But it says that he used to be a male whore. Doesn't say if he did it for men or women.
He's a man whore.
Gigolo.
But both of them stripped down to their boxer shorts.
Well, how nice of them.
Yes. Like,
so have they busted the myth about, you know, masturbating making you blind?
Maybe we ought to submit that to them.
Yeah.
Let's submit one to that.
I sent you back a nice letter. I was like, I don't think we can bust that myth on TV.
Bust something else on, but anyway.
But you could have an awful lot of fun trying.
That's a job for you, David. Why don't you try and bust that myth?
I already have.
Twice
long ago.
Well, you have to wear glasses, yeah.
No, that was long ago.
No, mine's not from the masturbation. It's from getting too close to the computer monitor to read the porn.
Looking at Nikki again, Chris.
That's a bad sign when you've got to put on glasses or to read the porn on your computer.
You're getting old.
Although PornoTube is a lovely thing.
Oh, got it. Videos. Is that XTube?
No, PornoTube.
Oh, no, XTube is the one I remember.
What's PornoTube?
It's basically, it's like YouTube.
YouTube.
See, YouTube and,
PutFile or something like that?
I forget if it was another one. Where you upload video clips.
Right.
And YouTube went
like
in.
Rapid share.
Yeah. Well, what they did is, you know, a lot of these sites, when all the talk was you had to have the USC 18, 25, whatever, proving everyone's 18 or up, they got rid of all their adult videos.
Oh.
So this one, pornotube.com, where you can upload up video clips and that, some of them are, you know, a 10-second clip, some of them are a 30-minute movie.
Oh.
And all different genres.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm upset the Japanese one, they pixelate in those areas. But that's just Japanese custom.
Yep.
But it's an interesting site where you can, you know, some of it's amateur, some of it is professional clips.
Oh.
So. The amateur stuff is just wow.
You know what I think is funny on the YouTube and everything? Is all those little guys who do their little, put on their favorite music and dance around their room.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes take their clothes, some of their clothes off or anything.
You got one of them.
There's just, you know, it's just, they're so cute. It's just such a funny thing. I met one of my best friends for my whole life when we moved in next door to her, and there was nothing in my room but my record player.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had records on it, and I was dancing like crazy.
And
there were no curtains or anything on the windows, and I look up, and she's in the window with her arms, you know, folded, watching. And she'd been watching me dance the whole time, and I was, of course, completely embarrassed, but that sealed our friendship. This, that was, what, you know,
blackmail
40 years ago. No, no, no. I was in high school. I was a junior in high school.
Oh. I'm trying to remember something else.
It couldn't be any worse.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like, that can't be any worse than me and a certain other person here who shall remain nameless walked in on his brother with his ding-dong and a vacuum cleaner.
Woo!
Oh, my God.
That's desperate.
So I'm not going to mention any names because that's really embarrassing.
No wonder he got that thing so big. Anyway.
However, it did ruin one song for me for the rest of my life because every time I hear it, I think back to that day.
Which is?
Smash Mouth, All Star.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know that.
Come
song.
On, just, you know, hey, now you're an All Star, and he's just dancing around the living room.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
we didn't know that was the song. Yeah.
Oh. I know.
Get
I sent
your game
you.
On?
I know. I sent you the link to this. This one Flash cartoon. It's actually from a year ago, and just finally getting some publicity on it. The Ultimate Orgy of Homosexuality. Do you ever click on that one I sent you?
Ooh.
No. It's, you have to do a search of NSFW Comics with an X.
Yeah.
And what is it?
It is, these guys did an animation, and it's called The Ultimate Orgy of Homosexuality. I can't play it because it, you know, it's got the F word in the first paragraph.
Oh, okay.
It is hilarious. Basically, you go through all of this. It starts off with Godzilla.
Godzilla!
Screwing a building. And then just going through Japan, you know. And then there's Batman. Indiana Jones, Chuck Norris.
Chris, excuse me.
Have you been to meatspin.com yet?
I haven't heard that. But,
look that up right now, Chris. You'll like meatspin.com.
Well, no, we can't. Okay, yeah. Samuel Jacksoff, Ron Jeremy, Harrison Ford, Keanu Reeves, Bill S. Preston, Spock, The Rock, Charlton Heston.
Oh, my God.
Busy.
It is hilarious when you go through and you're watching all of this stuff, and it make sure this is turned off there. It's got an uncensorship warning. It's a hilarious thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to
the Flash cartoon's also looting, not loading.
Yeah. It's hilarious. Actually, what you can do is turn on the, when it comes up, you can turn on the caption so you can read along.
Can I read it and then, like, FCC all the FCC words?
You can't follow along in time. It is just,
it's too fast.
It's a fast pace. It's a real catchy tune. And
I could try. I mean, I can.
Let's put it this way.
You know, 1 week.
It goes all the way through all the stuff. And it ends with Mr. Rogers.
Oh.
Is there anything about when he with a kid or anything like that?
No. Okay. No, the closest thing with a kid, he's 18 now.
Oh. Now?
Yeah. Well, Aaron Carter. But like I said, it's all cartoon. It's all cartoon. NSFW, not safe for work, for those who know. That's computer geek speak for, you know, don't touch. Okay, it's got the captioning on.
Oh, I know who I'm going to send this one to.
An instrumental.
So, it's a God, very...
Oh, God.
So, it's...
I'm sorry.
It already sounds
interesting.
I'll have to check this out.
Oh, yeah, it's also got Shaquille O'Neal, Aaron Carter, Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. In the backseat of the Batmobile.
So it's one of those little twisted things. If you've got some time and you're at home, oh yeah, Optimus
Prime came on Batman's face.
Oh my God!
Well, I think we can.
See, I can see there's quite a lot of fellatio and much sodomy. This is the ultimate orgy of homosexuality.
Oh,
that's a nice little catchy song.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, Ben, Jackie Chan.
So, yeah, there's not much I can play there.
It's a twisted little tune, but like I said, it's like something interesting to for you to peek around. David, could you get me... there's a Houston Voice out on the corner. There's supposedly a new gay Latino bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's it called? Oh, is it the one on the southwest side?
Yeah, on Gessner.
Yeah, I think I got a MySpace... someone wanted me to add it to their list.
Yeah,
a friend of mine has been emailing me about there's a new bar, In-N-Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They are doing once a month. They're doing an HIV gathering.
We talked about that at the beginning of the show.
Because he went and had a wonderful time. Really enjoyed it.
North Shepherd and around 15th.
He said he had a great time. It was really fun.
That's deep in the Heights.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad y'all talked about that.
Yeah. We've been promoting that event. They're still watching. The chuckles you're hearing.
I should have known.
They're still chuckling in there.
yeah,
they've got Ron Jeremy on there.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Gandalf the pimp.
Gandalf the pimp and Gandalf the hoe and
Tony Curtis.
I'm the Terminator, William Shatner, Ralph Nader, Lo Pan, Peter Pan, every male Power Ranger, Keanu Reeves, and Bill S. Preston, Spock the Rock, and Charlton Heston. Came out of nowhere, lightning fast, and they all...
Oh, come on, you just ruined it.
I couldn't play that word.
You can play the A word.
No, the F word.
Oh, I didn't see the F word.
Champion stood, all the girls got wetter. Mr. Rogers in a sweater. This is the ultimate orgy of homosexuality. Hot chicks.
It's a cute little...
Yes, it is. It's a great little
Like song. I said, I mean, somebody did a lot of animation. And then, for the ladies out there, the end does go into the ultimate orgy, great big lesbian orgy. It is double featured.
It sounds like, what hath South Park spawned.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the song, that's very very similar to the...
And if you go there, it's got a whole bunch of stuff of people having sex with dinosaurs. They've got some hilarious Christmas things on there.
Great.
Okay, here's the new this new club there. I think it's En Rotondo. It's the ad in here, I just saw it in The Voice while I was... We get ready for the show. The La Academia Club.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. No cover. 18 and up all weekend. The specials. Every Thursday, exotic male dancers featuring salsa, Spanish pop, hip hop, cumbia, reggaeton, dance, and more. Gay, lesbians, and friends. It's at 5829 South Gessner. For more information, you can call 713-334-5422 or go to myspace.com La Academica Club. That's LAACADEMIACLUB.
It's like a club.
Or the website is www.enratonado.com. But I was like flipping through, and they got these cute guys on the front there. It's like, huh?
Well,
you know, surrounded by all the titty bar ads.
Yes.
And that.
Which Backstreet Boy is gay?
That's an old video.
Yeah, which one isn't?
We can play that one. Is
all right. Hang on, let me replay it.
This is an old one.
Is this Weird Al?
We have desires, but one is that way. One Backstreet Boy is gay, but we
they weren't too far off. Lance Bass is gay.
Is this Weird Al?
No.
Since now he's a queen, don't ask me. Which Backstreet Boy is gay? Tell me who.
Think, say, and that it's gay. Tell me who. Think, say, and that it's out of
That's a little
brilliant.
It's a little bit mean, actually.
Yeah. Well,
it's a little bit homophobic, depending on who did it.
Yeah. Well, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Still.
But yeah, that's. it's one of those little cutesy things that, you know, that's one of the things with the internet that it is so. You know what they call the viral videos. In that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that surprised me. I just realized we didn't talk anything about, and we've only got a couple minutes to pull it up there. Tonight's the Emmys.
Oh.
Is it? Oh, no.
The bastard child of the Oscars.
What do you know?
And the other gay high holy holiday.
Yeah, because one of the things is, a recent report came out about the queer exposure on television of how much it's gone down.
Well, Will and Grace is gone.
Yeah, well, that wasn't exactly a gay...
You do have a gay character.
It was allegedly a gay show.
Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, well, see, he's considered a supporting actor.
And he's not going to be on this season.
Yeah, I mean...
And he's also, he's psycho.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Let's see, where's that part?
That's the unfortunate thing is that homosexuals are still portrayed as,
Well, the doctor on ER is about as, she's a pretty amazing character. Yeah. I mean, she's a great person.
But
and she's a brilliant doctor. Yeah.
The number of lead and supporting and recurring gay characters is down to 14.
Yeah.
Which is 1.37% of all characters on shows. The networks that were surveyed was ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, as well as the CW and My Network TV, which are the two new networks that are coming up.
Oh.
We have them here. My network is going to be Channel 20.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which is when UPN and the WB combined, they're now the CW.
Well, that just means there's one less religious station on cable.
Well,
it's not changing anything.
But at the same time, are they counting things like Rosie O'Donnell is going to be on The View and she's gay?
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. I was thinking about how Ellen hardly ever talks about being gay on her show because, everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and she talks about it sometimes when she's hosting, the Oscars and all that. She did that joke about it. But, I mean, there's also a certain amount of just, that going on, too. But you're right. I mean, I'm sure it's true about it is true about the stories.
Well, yeah, some of the other shows that did have gay characters are off now.
Right.
Crumbs. Emily's Reasons Why Not, Love Monkey, Out of Practice.
Well, Evergreen was one of the best shows ever on TV, and they had this wonderful story. One of Ephraim's piano students, Ephraim, the straight boy Ephraim, helped him have the courage to come out and be himself. And it was a wonderful storyline, and a really, really sympathetic, very cute little character.
But some of the stuff is coming up there. Just new characters on The Class, which is going to be on CBS, a sitcom. We'll have a gay main character. And on the CW show called Hidden Palms.
Ooh.
I know there's also going to be supporting gay character.
Hidden Palms.
Yeah.
Sweaty Palms.
Hairy Palms.
A lot of the characters are going to be in minor supporting roles on ABC's Brothers and Sisters. Brothers and Sisters, Help Me Help You, Ugly Betty, and Big Day.
Yeah, you know, part of the problem is anything that's a good program, I mean, a serious good program, Desperate Housewives is wonderful and everything, but I mean, like, Judging Amy, there was quite a few gay characters. There was even a kid that they took in and brought, right, who it was gay. And a lot of stuff that's serious, good TV does, I mean, it gets canceled.
Yeah, like I said, one of the things they were, you know, they criticized Crumbs, saying, you know, would life have been better if we kept Crumbs?
Mm-hmm.
I watched a couple of times. I thought it was cute, you know.
I
thought Fred Savage was cute.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, he is.
He's playing a gay character.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, he was a closeted gay character on that. But we've got that.
I'm sure it'll be on DVD soon.
I don't know if they did enough episodes to do that. We've got that. We're getting close to the end of the show here.
Yes, we are.
So, Just a little reminder of what's going to be happening here with the show this next month. Things are going to get bumped around a little. Next week, we're going to be doing a live remote from the first half of the show, if everything works out correctly with it. We will be coming to you live from Convergence with a town hall meeting on people of size and issues in the GBT community. So that'll be the first part of the show. Cool. And we're going to be having that, you know. Next week is, you know, Labor Day weekend. So a lot of people will be heading off to Southern Decadence.
Woohoo!
Which will be bringing us back to New Orleans after, you know, Tuesday is being the 1-year anniversary of
the
devastation.
Yeah.
The bitch.
And like I said, hopefully they will be okay after that, after. You can't put it in a queue mode while I'm on the air. You know, if the way it's looking that Ernesto is about ready to smack them. So.
But Ernesto is about ready to smack who?
New Orleans.
Oh,
that's right. There's a new. Somebody was telling me there's a hurricane brewing. I haven't seen the news.
May come in as a 2 or 4.
Yeah. It's a tropical
between
storm.
A 2 or 4.
I'll give you your update. How about that?
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, when it first came up, they were showing the cones. Yeah, everyone in my group was like,
ooh.
It's like, take me to my happy place. And then we saw, it's heading north to
Georgia, Florida.
Yeah, it's actually the curving there is.
Oh, great. We've got another one.
No, Debbie, we've already known about. She's out in the middle of the ocean. She's going nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's right. Ernesto. Who's looking like he's, you know, he's not even going to hit. Actually, New Orleans isn't the big thing. It looks like it's going to hit the Alabama, Mississippi.
And they definitely don't need any more.
No.
Say, yeah. Florida might get it.
Pensacola.
Yeah, they're talking about a rapid shift.
Actually, currently, its maximum sustained winds are at 70 miles an hour, which puts it just below hurricane strength.
Yeah.
Right. And they said by Wednesday it should be a Cat 1.
My goodness.
Actually, more like tomorrow.
Probably so, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, it's taking a, you know, I mean, I haven't seen a trajectory like that since the Magic Bullet. I'm not kidding. It goes there. It makes a right-hand turn, so...
It's wobbling.
Yeah. So everyone's heading off to Southern Decadence next week. Hopefully you will have safe juries and dry weather for that.
Yes.
And hopefully for the people who are coming here for my stuff. And like I said,
if it comes to Texas, that's always great, because then everybody will be in at Southern Decadence. Yeah.
But
little rain on.
All right, so we got to start wrapping up here and get ready to go. Once again, like I said, next week we'll bring you a town hall meeting, and I think we'll figure out what else we're bringing afterwards.
Okay.
So, until next time.
Good night, kids.
Good night.
Good night.
Be safe.
And now to put these PSAs in your ear.
Yeah.
Because we can't put them anywhere else.
The nomination period for KPFT elections candidates has begun and continues through September 25th. For more details on the election, how to declare yourself or nominate someone else as a candidate, and everything else, visit KPFT's website. That's www.kpft.org. KPFT unique model support, listener, and volunteer membership to our local station board. There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's 5 local station boards. Board members assist in fundraising, outreach, and governance at KPFT. Those form diverse communities in our Signal area and are especially encouraged to run. Again, the nomination period is now open and closes on September 25th. Visit www.kpft.org for elections information, including nomination procedures. This is KPFT Houston.
Calling all bike riders and volunteers to fight breast cancer. The Tour de Pink 2006 is fast approaching. On September 10, Pink Ribbons Project hosts its second annual fundraising bike ride. Riders raise money for Pink Ribbons Project, Dancers in Motion Against Breast Cancer. Contributions and pledges will help fight breast cancer through awareness and education, free screenings, and research initiatives. Last year's ride was a huge success. Over 1,000 riders registered. This year's event has routes from 12 to 100 miles. The starting line is at Prairie View A&M near Hempstead. So dust off your helmets, tune up your bikes, and join us on Sunday, September 10 at 7:30 a.m. on the start line. To register or to volunteer, visit tourdepink.org on the web. That's tourdepink.org. See you there.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.